Sanibonani, this is Bongani Luvalo, and you are listening to my top 10 at 10.
On the street,
on the air.
It is Car 959 on the street, on the air, and I've got the man. Your husband, Tech Country, is here.
Way.
Bongani Luvalo.
Uncle T.
You call yourself Sir Luvalo?
Yes.
Find him on social, Sir Luvalo.
Sir Bongani Luvalo.
Yes. There you go. Welcome to the show, man.
Ah, thank you, Mr. T.
Happy International Diabetes Day. I don't know if happy is the right term, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
It's the day we observe Diabetes Day. Mm-hmm. It is Movember. Mm-hmm. It's about men's health. And of course, the biggest question is, and I know you are an activist around men.
Sure.
Especially with their mental health in particular. What are the new challenges? Because I think with your journey, you have found some progress, mm-hmm. I would assume.
Look, I don't think there's anything new, Mr. T. I think it becomes too close and too loud, you know. Men have been said to be providers, but unfortunately the economy is making it difficult for men to step up into that. And every day people are losing jobs. Many are men, you know. Mm-hmm. And probably some of us might not be as committed to upscaling ourselves as women are, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. To say, okay, I might have an IT degree, but probably in IT there is something that is more, you know, of a
relevant and relevant, future, yeah,
you know,
and
probably AI or something. What could I do as a crash course or extend what I have? Very few of us go there. So we're in the cold front of, you know, the diving down of the economy, the losing of the jobs, the businesses that are closing, and that makes us question ourselves, you know, and that affects our mental health, that affects our mental, our health physically. Mm-hmm. So all of those things, I think they are pressing us to the corner more than just new things. And I think we are also having problems of alcohol abuse, and we think it's just a social activity, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but it's an escape. If you sit down and really check, Majita, what are we running away from? Mm-hmm. You know, because we've just extended the days of drinking, and not just drinking as a social drinking, heavily drinking, you know. Mm-hmm. So that is some type of an escape route, you know, into the realities that we're facing, not necessarily wanting to confront them and say, I might not have answers for this, but where can I get clarity? Where can I get help? Where can I get... So I think it's just an extended... And if you would look in the apartheid days, alcohol was also planted in the townships to be disruptive.
Right, yeah.
But society decided that we're going to bend down these beer halls. Mm. We're going to, you know... So whoever is selling umkombothi, and people had to hide some of the alcohol that, you know, was being sold, because people could realize that alcohol is a destructive element in this community.
But now, what is the biggest thriving business in townships?
It is alcohol. Go to Gauteng Liquor Board and ask them how many applications do they receive daily of licenses. And they are willing to give them away. So government as well is playing a role in actually entrenching.
Enabling
that environment. They used to say you can't have a liquor store or a tavern in
close
so many
to a church or school. Church or school.
These days, I can tell
next
you,
door.
They use the same premises in others.
You said something about where do I go when I need... this, where do I go when I need this? And that's the question, where? Mm-hmm. Where does he go?
Mr. T, first and foremost, who are we spending our time with? There's a movement or a social group that I just got exposed to. They call themselves Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. You know, many is the guys in the showbiz, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me, it will go back to the scripture. Are you your brother's keeper? Mm. Because if we claim to be having friends, you claim to be having siblings, an uncle, a father, a pastor, there should be an avenue of a conversation, somebody that you can trust with your darkest secrets, but also your heavy heart, what is troubling you.
A WhatsApp group will do that?
I've got a WhatsApp group with my husbands. We talk constructive things. We call each other out. We help each other, but also when we meet.
But you're also naughty.
Yeah, of course.
Why?
But also, what is naughty in this context? You know, naughty could be somebody sharing a clip of a lady walking down the runway. Boys get excited by girls. Girls get excited by boys, you know. But as long as we're not objectifying women, I'm not saying people must be sharing porn and so on. Not that kind of a group.
Okay.
But guys would talk about, hey, how was Saturday? Hey, you know, we're having this fun and so on. It was fun. But on Tuesday, somebody is, you know, unnatural petrol. It might not be the same people that was, you know.
I would also
somewhere.
Suppose, say, Bongani Luvalo, that a WhatsApp group will be more active when more fun stuff are shared than facts and real naked truths.
Sure.
The real naked truths WhatsApp group will be boring.
That is the truth.
So then what's the point?
I think we might be over-expecting. You'll find that one type of a group of guys would have two groups, the serious group and where they share jokes. And of course, the jokes one and the naughty one is more active.
Yes. You know?
Because men will always try and find a safe space where they would not have to be vulnerable because we're not trusting easy, you know. But there are people, you've got to ask yourself, amongst the four or five friends I have, who are the people that I can trust the most? Or who is that one individual, you know? Because men live in a shadow of not being too sure who I can trust with my vulnerability and what they can do with this vulnerability, whether be it your friends, whether be it your parents, whether it be your partner. Men are all, because we've been so socialized in understanding that we are the symbol of strength. And at the moment or in time where you no longer show that or posture is the symbol of strength, then you feel like you have failed people.
And what does the strength look like? You not showing emotion?
Yes. When people are crying about shelter burrito, you don't say you are hungry, but you say, let me go and look for shelter burrito. When Kapilo is something or somebody has passed away, you don't talk about how much you loved them and how much you're going to miss them, but ensuring that the funeral proceedings are happening. When you have lost an employment, you don't say how it affects you, but you are more worried about the people who have been dependent on you, you know. So that is the symbol of strength that we live in, and on everyday basis we try and show up to and say, I can't allow my daughter not to have the same trust of Papa will show up. I can't wake up and my wife does not have the belief and an understanding that they can tell me something and I'll do something about it. If my sibling, whether it's my sister or my brother, calls and says, go school, long, shoot a textbook, your photosynthesis, and I'll be able to say, no, it's fine. In the afternoon, I'll tell you something. Because that's how we've been wired. You know, Hore, your job is to ensure that you provide, you know, protection and you also do financial provision. So we exist in that. And of course, society would say, no, but we tell you not to do that. But unfortunately, many of us don't even know what are we outside of those two things. It's a journey that we still need to take to say, outside of being a provider, what am I? Outside of being Loiso's dad, who am I, Kilibongan? Outside of being a director of this company, who am I, Kilibongan? And I think many of us as guys struggle with having to have that understanding of who am I outside of these things. Externally, because we exist on how we are being perceived or taken externally, but internally, what am I battling with? What do I love? What do I appreciate? If I just had an hour to myself, what would I do?
Let's talk now about his vulnerability with his own health, the very engine he needs to fulfill those things and be the man that he needs to be. Just yesterday, I had a doctor coming in to talk about the things that affect men. A simple thing like diabetes has a ripple effect. It can go as far as low libido. And we know what low libido does if he's in a relationship. It affects his self-esteem. And self-esteem then comes out as form of what? Frustration. Frustration is what? Is anger. Anger is outburst. And then from that outburst is doing what? Spending time in the streets instead of home. Why doesn't he take care of his health?
Mr. T, maybe one could also take it back to being the symbol of strength. But also, we do take things for granted as far as our health is concerned. Until something puts you down, that's when you pay attention. You know, when your libido is down and you're now having that erectile dysfunction, you're like not sure what's what.
Because your pride and ego is now at stake.
Yes, you know, when you can't wake up and show up at work, you know, you've been saying, but no, take medication or let's go to the doctor. Like, man, get close, sharp, man. Let's give it another day or two, because that's what we say, you know. And until in the morning, you're no longer able to wake up, or busihu you want to go to the bathroom and, you know, your kidneys are just pressing on you, you're in deep pain. And you could have avoided this by actually when the madam said, are you viral or not, doctor? Like, no, I don't know how to man, get sharp. And I think we take it for granted. I don't know why we do that, but we always leave things to last chance, you know, including the day you are diagnosed with gout and they give you medication. You eat that medication 2-3 days in Yana. If you are lucky, you might finish the week. Then you start saying, no, man, I'm pissing Yana. Not a lot. Doctor said, I must not, you know, cut meat, red meat out. But they said, I must reduce. So now you are.
You know what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
We are our own worst enemy.
Definitely. We are. And I can't even say we don't understand. It's probably a question of, we just keep on thinking we can extend it another hour, another day. Let me not attend it today. Because also men don't like confrontational conversations. We always want to postpone them. Let's not deal with it now. So probably even with our health, that's how far we take it. Say, no, man, I'll be fine. Let's try another day. I'm also guilty of that. Like, no, go to the doctor. I'll rather in 3 days go to the pharmacy, not even to the doctor, pharmacy over the counter.
Yeah, you get something.
But yeah. You get something. You come back with this medication, I take it for 2 days, you know? And I'm like, no, I'm okay now. Until really I'm pressed and I'm like, no, now I must go to the doctor and so on. I don't know how we are wired as far as taking care of our own health. And even when our partners or our mothers, you know, siblings want to take care of us, we still want to rise to the occasion. I don't know what happened.
I wanted to take a break, and when we get back, by the way, if you just tuned in, this is Bongani Luvalo, award-winning author,
businessman,
behind Cool Dads Foundation, and he's got a brand new novel out.
Yes. Falling in love.
Falling in love with an IT girl.
With an IT girl.
Yeah. Or maybe AI girl. It is Car 959 on the street, on the air. We're still going to unpack and talk to this man about other things. But after the break, I want us to talk about him being the national husband.
Yay!
Husband, dear Car. Well, the things he says off air, let me tell you now. This husband of yours. Lord Cares and Casper, why this song?
Love is a beautiful thing, Mr. T. You know, besides Casper being, you know, great rapper, great musician, and I've just discovered this lady. Probably I was just been sleeping on her.
Yeah. No. I mean, she dropped this year.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah.
You know, beautiful voice. Just love the song, you know. And the commitment, I think as men, and Casper says, you're my sweetheart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And for me, I consciously look for things that reemphasize that men are emotional beings. Contrary to popular belief, there are no emotions
So they show it in their own way. Yeah.
In our own way. And I always say, go back to Ngere, look for ligins, go kasi how. Find the most
hard knock.
Yeah, but this one's a criminal. Or they'll take this and that. Go and look how soft they are to the woman they love.
Yeah.
How so? And you'll then be like, Haibo, is this Pa Gibbs?
Wow. I'll check it.
You know, because that's what love does. You know, once you've landed in that safe space and you're just in love, you're smitten.
So you love love, eh?
I do. It's a beautiful thing.
Is that why you went on a reality TV show to look for love?
Not to look for love.
To do what?
To find marriage. To find somebody who's committed to the institution of marriage. We tend to play auditions, both sides, men and women. We're trying to see how far you can go to convince me to be with you. But without commitment, without playing your role.
But TV is even worse. I'm there for PR.
Look, it's a social experiment. And for the mere fact that for so many years, one would have gone through life and relationships, found beautiful love, ended beautiful relationships. And you think, can I try something different? Something outside of the norm that I've been doing? And for me, it was that. Let's try
but,
and
but,
see.
But okay, what sold it for you?
One, not being in control. I love being in control of things. I think I did project management twice. Project management. I did advanced project management.
Yeah.
So I think I always have. I want to have a feeling of you know what is happening.
Yeah.
I'm coming here at 10. I know I'm going to arrive like this. This is what's going to happen and so on. So I thought And I'm quite finicky, and you know, I can sit there and look at this lady.
So was this your way of saying I don't want to be?
I'm not in control. Find me a person that says we're both committed to the idea of marriage and building a family and having to explore life together. Sitting, we're going to fix them as we go. Because also, I believe that love is hedged by a continuous behavior of somebody else. You know, you look at Mr. T, you're like, how he speaks on radio. There's a person who's going to listen to you for the first time today.
Mm.
And next week they listen on, and they listen on, and they say, oh, wow, I love how he carries himself. I love the conversations he carries online and so on. So when you interact, you meet this person, and they are looking at your behavior with them and with other people.
Yeah.
And that these traits that come out, these principles, these values, is a respectful person, is a calm person, is a thoughtful person, she's an intelligent person, then you fall in love with the traits and the continuous showcasing of those, you know? So that's when love is hedged, you know?
Mm.
But you must meet at a commitment point. And of course, give my club bill. Like, she looks beautiful. Mm. Hi, can we talk? You know? But for me, I thought, let somebody find me a person who says they are committed to the ideal of marriage. Because that was married at first sight.
Yeah.
Not love at first sight. Mm, you know?
Mm.
And of course, because in the interviews, you speak about the principles and the values that you are subscribing to, then you think that they will also check for somebody like that. For instance, I said, I want a family.
So there's a huge risk there of human error, because you are trusting somebody who's not necessarily scientific.
Yeah. But some of them are scientific, some of them are psychological, but you know, I'm not sure about
okay,
the
trusting an algorithm.
Yes. And I'm told that somebody else said, number one, you can cheat an algorithm, by the way.
Yes.
It's
what you feed it.
Yes.
But you know. Okay. Let's put that aside. Mm-hmm. I think we can criticize and talk about it as much as we want. The bottom line is the objective was noble.
Yeah.
And for both sides.
Sure.
Lessons?
From this is that you will not always get what you want. And it's a question of how do you deal with that, one. But two, human beings are in a quest for love and finding a place of belonging. It's just a question of rapiring as far as our characters and personalities are concerned.
Okay.
And that could be our shortfall, you know. It could be our shortcoming in trying to explore and to grab this thing that you believe in, that you say you want, you know. So how I show up and how I carry myself in the journey of having to acquire that which I believe in and I think I want and I'm hungry for, I have a bigger opportunity of messing it up myself. But also, you have a chance of actually having to fail yourself, you know. Coming back, I said, Bongani, you need to forgive yourself, you know. And someone else would say, but forgive yourself on what?
Yes, I was just about to ask you that.
One, having to put myself out there, you know, your life being out there, your own experience being watched by everybody else, but also...
Did you feel naked? Or do you still feel naked?
I still do. Hindsight, one would not have thought of the eyes and the interest that is now having.
Hi!
Not bodyguards. So you get, because that's the most love and having to pursue a relationship makes you vulnerable.
Yes, but it's a vulnerable experience.
Yes, but both of us are human beings. We live in hope. So even when the meth is not mething, you still have that hope that says, try one more time, go another day, go another hour, you know, because you are hopeful. But also, you then arrive at a point where you say, let me lose this part of me. Probably losing this part of me might make me a better person to show up, you know. And there are things that I had to say. For instance, I there are things I said I do not want, because I had experienced them in my normal dating life, you know. And I said, please don't put me across these different things, because I don't think I want to deal with them, you know. And then you find yourself there. And because of my own traumas as well, because of rejection, because of abandonment, what you do then, over time, I had adapted being a Superman, trying to save somebody else, while not dealing with my own issues of how does being rejected make you feel? Because I have been rejected before, and worse, not just by a woman, but it comes from home, you know?
Mm.
And you then create that safe space for yourself where you say, it's either I jump first before people jump, or I do not give them a reason to jump. So I'm continuously trying to say, Bongani, what you are doing, are you going to give Mr. T a reason not to be your friend anymore? Are you going to give Mr. T a reason not to have this friendship with you? You know, and you try and eliminate those things while you're missing the opportunity of having to enjoy the relationship itself. Because I'm coming from these traumas. So at some point in time, I decided to wear the Superman cape and said, let me not think about the things that I said I want and so on, but rather save, you know, this person so that we can have an ideal space for a relationship.
Yeah.
So that's where I found myself. And I said, Bongani, you can't keep on failing yourself like that. We are trying to show up for other people and not for yourself.
Tell Bongani Jr. about what love is. And one day they're going to be in pursuit of finding a life partner. Coach them. What is the one thing you would say to them about that world?
In its purest, love is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But as human beings, we always carry conditions. I love you because. I love you if you do this. And you must not make the mistake of having to rise up to the occasion that you end up losing who you are. Of course, love needs work. It needs you to show up. But never allow yourself to be at a platform where you lose yourself and do not understand who you are anymore. And you do not even have an understanding of where you're going solely because of you want to secure and be in this place where you are loved and you think the person appreciates you or the people appreciate you. So in the midst of that, don't lose who you are. It doesn't mean that you can't learn how to better show up, how to sharpen yourself, how to be a better human being, because love is also a partnership. And in the partnership, there are things that you have been wired to understand and to exist within, which unfortunately, when you get in the pursuit of that relationship, there are things that you must lose. You know, and there are things that you must adapt to, and there are things that you must be able to be gracious on, you know, but do not go to the core of having to lose who you are and your greatest values.
Then you are not ready. By that I mean, when you are meeting someone and you want to give yourself to them, part of that process is losing yourself.
Of course.
Because you are vulnerable, isn't it?
You. When I say don't lose yourself, don't lose the core of your character. Behavior is something else. Behavior would be when you wake up at 6 o'clock, whether you are losing bed or not, doesn't matter to you, you know? Whether you come back at 4 o'clock in the morning, go grooving, doesn't matter to you. That's behavior. Once you are in a relationship
with someone, yeah,
you've got to lose that behavior and say, okay, how does this behavior contribute?
So you're saying character, world? Not behavior.
No, yes. So in terms of character, don't lose who you are, but your behavior ought to understand that you're in a relationship and you're not alone. You're in partnership with somebody and they are socialized in a particular way. You're also socialized in a particular way.
Are you still going to get married?
Nah, definitely. But I'm hoping that I'm going to get in the next one. I believe in marriage. I believe in love.
When are you going to say, I'm a common denominator, I'm the problem?
I had arrived at that.
Okay.
I stayed for about 18 months or so without being in a relationship. And part of that, I think, when I went to the show, I had been working on understanding what is it that I've been doing wrong. Mm. You know?
Working on it by yourself?
In therapy.
Or in therapy. Okay.
In therapy. And that's why I would also come to an understanding of some of the challenges I would have are deeply embedded on abandonment and rejection.
Yeah, yeah. Because your history, you bring your history with you.
Yes. And I then continuously put myself at the back and say, I want to not give a reason, Mr. T, to leave. Because you are functioning from that default that says, he left you. You don't even know why.
The people I love,
they leave.
The people that should love me,
they leave. And now you're continuously in a quest of securing them not to leave, even at your own cost.
Your husband, Yomhlaba, your sizwe. We're going to talk about his book, Inhliziyo Yomkhohlisi. Falling in love with an it girl. Maybe it's a personal memoir. Bongani. Love this guy, man. Shout out the man.
He's the man he thinks he is.
Yeah?
He is the man he thinks.
Ah, he is. Yeah. No, he is. Did you see what he did with the request show? Go Google Java and his request show. He had a live request show. So there you are. You choose a song, he performs it. Live.
That's being creative.
It was a mess. It was, hey.
Because everyone wants to request.
Mamela.
Dedicated to me.
Listen, it was a beautiful mess because can you imagine your favorite artist is here? Yeah. He says, what song do you want? You say, Mcebo. Bah, same yeah. time. Nangla.
And his shows always sell like this. Bah, gaspidi. You snooze, he's gone. Or papa, ticket, it's gone. I've missed his shows.
In case you're
I'm sleeping on duty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In case you're cautious.
It is a deceiver.
The novel. You wrote a novel, bruh.
Yeah.
Tell me.
I did it by mistake, Mr. T.
Halala.
I was asked to write a book about manhood, brotherhood, and a boy child.
Okay.
And I think one of the top five publishers, I'll not say their name because I still owe them the manuscript.
Yeah.
It's coming. I did tell them it's coming.
Yeah.
So we identified thematic issues. One of them was grieving. What does grieving look like to a man? When you have lost either a child, a partner, parent, sibling. We spoke about being a single father and unemployed. So we had different thematic issues. But what needed to happen in that book, I needed to interview people that have gone through that.
That's right.
It was quite heavy for me. Emotionally heavy for me. It was an emotional burden, if I can call it that, you know. And because of the work that I've been doing through the foundation, and I've continuously carried this burden, you know, that many men are carrying and are not able to express. And I was just sitting there in the study, and I was like, no, I can't do this, you know. And I was scribbling. Then I got reminded of one friend of mine. He's late now, Lebogang Gregory Ngwenya. In our mischievous days, you know. And I'm like thinking, hey, I wonder, Lebogang, what would be our love issues or our love stories right
today,
now, you know?
Yeah.
And really, I got taken to some of the moments. And I started scribbling. And I was like, actually, the book I want to write at 40, because my commitment was that I'll write about love at 40. I don't know why, but I thought I'd do it at 40.
Yeah.
So I started scribbling. I said, Bongani, if you were to do this, where would you go? You know, I started plotting, and I was like, And in the plot, I was like, okay. And in no time, I then saw myself writing.
Saw myself writing.
And it went through for the whole week, you know, sleeping 2-3 hours. It went on. And first chapter in the plot became 3 chapters of this book, you know.
Sure.
And I was like, flip. I lost Lebogang through COVID. He got COVID, like early days of COVID. My stepdad, my dad as well, also contracted. He didn't die of COVID, but we buried him the following week. So when we were burying Lebogang, my mom said, your dad is not well. And so I said, take the man to her doctor. You know, because he just retired, had 2 strokes following each other and so on. Then Monday he passed on. The following Saturday we buried him, you know.
And that was back to back.
Yeah. And so while I was still sitting there, I'm like, actually this story... There are many untold stories about COVID, you know. COVID took us through so much. We lost so much. We lost jobs, we lost businesses, we lost monies, we lost people we love, we lost dreams. There are people who thought, I'm going to be graduating at 2020, August, September, October. They never got to walk that stage, you know.
And it's a moment.
It's a moment, you know, it's a dream that died. You know, yes, you got your degree, but you wanted that moment, whether you walk with your parent or you walk with whoever and say, let me... So I was like, also COVID... is an untold story where many dreams died, many lives were lost, you know. And I said, probably let me, and I literally thought of Lebogang, thought of my dad, and so many things that died. I lost my business, Miss LL Tours, logistics. It died because of COVID, we're not having clients, people are not doing conferencing, there's no tourism.
Yeah.
So I was like, actually there's no, we've not told the story of COVID and what COVID brought, you know, as a new modus operandi.
But now you wrote it as a novel.
Yes.
What are the characters there? And then what are they representing? Are they representing thematics as well? Some thematic...
They are. You've got Mkhuseli. Mkhuseli is a young black man, successful, if I can call him that, 30 years of age. He's got an MBA, big shot in Sentin, you know, consultant in project management. You can click the dots.
I get it. Immediately.
You know, stays in an apartment in Bedford View, you know. An epitome of what would say, this is a young black man who's successful, you know. But COVID says to him for a moment, when the president announces, I think it was the 21st or 23rd of April. March,
yes.
You know, the president says, we're going on lockdown, this is what's going to happen, this is the lowdown, and so on and so on. And that moment makes him sober up to the realities of his life. So I'm going to be here, I can't be moving, and so on. And then immediately he thinks about his parents. His parents are in a township in Katlehong. He's got a mother, he's got a father, he's got siblings. And he's thinking about his own life, you know. And he's got a young boy that he's taking care of. He lost his sister many years ago. And it's something else that he's still, you know, battling with, having to explain how his sister died, because no one really knows, you know, how Mretlo died. Then you also have, so you've got this successful man, because we're all in a quest for success.
That's right.
And we don't, and success looks, it comes in different shapes for all of us in different directions. And then you also have this Nkuseli, who belongs to a brotherhood, you know, these brothers. He grew up with them. They went through all phases of school, and now today they are a support system to each other through the good times and the bad times. You see Groove Mola, you see someone losing a parent, they're showing up. You see somebody having to be protecting his family, they show up. So I also bring the essence of brotherhood and how men actually think and operate, you know, but also moments of where they call each other out and so on. So we also bring some of these issues that are coming out in our society today. But also you've got strong women of strength, not strong women, women of strength.
Yeah.
First being Kuseli's mother. We detail how Kuseli's mother, you know, helped Kuseli to be the man that he is.
That's
you
right.
know? Yep. You've got this girl that Kuseli falls in love with called Bokang. You know, Bokang comes from a history of strong women or women of strength, but who've had challenges.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, somewhere it looks like there's a pattern of, you know, behavior or history that repeats itself because of the grandmother, successful, a principal. You can imagine. Your grandmother, it's in English, I always have one grandmother, I always talk about her. She always told you that she did royal English.
Yes.
How she carried herself, she emulated the queen.
Yeah.
You know, how she dressed. You'll always drink tea when you visit her and so on. So you've got that, and you also have Bokang's mother, who doesn't have a good relationship with her own mother, who's grandmother to Bokang.
Issues.
And somewhere as well, there's a thin line of men. It's a string of from the grandmother to Bokang's mother, to Bokang today, who's also trying to grapple and find her space in a relationship and also be a successful girl and so on. And she gets time to reflect and say, but why are things going so wrong? You know, my mother was not, actually Bokang's mother killed Bokang's father, who was quite abusive, you know, and in an argument, in a fight, he lost his steps and she was carrying a knife, trying to protect herself, fell onto the knife and he died. The mother went to prison for about 10 years and she was raised by the grandmother. And now the grandmother is living in the guilt of having forced her own daughter to go and marry when she fell pregnant of Bokang and said, Mohai Arnadi damages, you know? And unfortunately, that was she was pushing Bokang's mother to an abusive man until that relationship collapsed with him dying. And Bokang now is in an abusive relationship and meets Mkuseli, who is a different type of love. She wants She wants this Mkuseli, but she has lived in so much noise and chaos that this looks for
him. Why is he a calm storm?
Yes, you know. So she always now doubles between going to Mkuseli and running back to the sugar daddy that she met a while back, who's abusive.
What
another
sugar daddy?
Yes, but also in this relationship, yes, he is dominant, but she fights and stands her ground. She says the things she doesn't want. She says how she wants to be treated and how this man is not treating her, you know. But also, in the midst of this emotional storm, she goes back to her grandmother and says, but what went wrong? Why are we facing all of this, you know? But ultimately, Mkuseli does meet somebody else. But
we must read the book.
Right. It's a beautiful story. By Ice of Bailey, by the way, I'm busy with part two now.
Bongan Vai. Yes, it's all in 24 hours.
Thank you.
Yeah. Intliziyo
Mkhotlisi. Falling in love with an it girl.
Do you want to read the book? Let me know via WhatsApp. I do have very few copies. So the very first who say they want to read the book, we'll send, Tato will take your details and then you can come collect it here at Kaya and then read it yourself. All the best, my brother. Keep shining.
Thank you very much, Mr. T. Really appreciate it.
Sanbonani, this is Bongani Luvalo and you are listening to my Top 10 at 10.
On the street.
On the air.
The best tea in the city. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to midday on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.